Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz interview series with legendary Cuban jazz trumpeter Arturo Sandoval on the 2022 CD Rhythm and Soul. This new album is not only a fresh new sound, it's being sold as an NFT. It includes 12 songs performed by Sandoval's septet and will be replete with a full tour. We get into his new music, COVID life, touring, and the grand future abound, and so much more. It's always wonderful to catch up with Arturo, so enjoy this interview.
It's so good to catch up with you. Thank you very much for taking a minute out today.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, the last time you came through Kansas City with Max and the band, and I was telling Max this in an interview about 6 months ago, I've seen a lot of shows in my life. You produced one of the very best shows I've ever seen in my life. It was at the end of the Charlie Parker Week of Festivities. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much, man. That made me feel overwhelmed. Thank you so much, man.
Absolutely. So you have a wonderful new album out, and I want to know about Rhythm and Soul. I've listened to it. I love it. You got a lot of wonderful players on there. Talk to me about how this album came about. It's a wonderful sound.
You know, it's mostly of the tunes, they're brand new tunes. I was written during the pandemic, you know. And then that was my kind of remedy, a solution to kill all the dead time, you know. And I was so sad, sitting in a home doing nothing. And then I decided to start writing tunes and making videos. I made more than 650 videos during the time, playing mostly new tunes and then, you know, because I must use my dead time, you know, in something productive. And also that gave me the opportunity to stay in touch with people who follow me and appreciate my music. And, you know, that was a kind of a solution for the problem.
How did this pandemic time change you? I know you're a very busy man. You love being in front of crowds, and I can attest to that. How did that time change you now that you're back out in front of fans again?
It's terrible because that never happened before in my life. And then I used to be playing, you know, constantly, you know, all over. And for me, that was a terrible thing, you know, to be more than 2 years without playing live, you know. And also affect my playing, because the only way I can survive with the trumpet is when I practice and play gigs. But it doesn't matter if I practice many hours a day, if I don't play gigs, that is a completely different way of preparation and to keep your skill alive, you know. And that really affect me a lot, and I still struggling. I think I'm getting over now because I start playing gigs again, and then I getting back in shape, thanks God.
So you got some gigs coming up to kick this album off?
Oh yeah, we got a bunch of gigs. We have been doing gigs left and right, you know, all over. Yeah. We just did a week in Washington D.C. in Seattle, Washington, at the Jazz Alley. And then we going next week, 8 shows, 4 nights at Blues Alley in Washington, D.C. And then we go to George's in California. And then I go to the University of Georgia. I got a bunch of gigs, man, thanks God, yeah.
So how do the crowds feel? Do they feel different than the way they did before the pandemic started?
Actually, I noticed that the people was, starving. They was hungry for go out and attend gigs and things, because the people was, you know, inside the house for such a long time. And that was, it was a two-way thing, because they feel excited about it, and we too, you know, the band, we have a great energy on the stage because we were anxious to play, you know.
So this album is an NFT. You've always been kind of on that cutting edge of things. How did that come about?
Oh, because the executive producer, he's very involved in that kind of thing, you know. I'm not familiar with that, to be honest. I'm an old guy who, you know, I like real dollars. Yeah. So far, he's doing a great job. He knows what he's doing. And he's been enthusiastic, and he put a lot of time and effort to produce the album and also to promote it. And we are very grateful to him. Tim Ellis is the gentleman I'm talking about.
So I noticed a video the other day on Instagram. You ran into Quincy Jones, and it has to be wonderful to be able to run into people again and have great conversations.
Oh, man, that was great. With Quincy, Vinny Colaiuta, Herbie Hancock, and especially John Williams, man. John Williams, he was so nice with everybody, but he made me cry a couple of times during the session because he stand up from the piano and came to me where I was sitting and hugged me and I told me a lot of beautiful things that I feel embarrassed to repeat, you know, but he really made one of my happiest day of my life, you know.
The one thing that's interesting is that, you know, there's always a perception of what the artist is putting out and what the fan gets from it. What are you hoping the listener gets from this new album?
You know, the joy and the music, fresh music, new music, and the joy of the band making that kind of thing, you know. That's the only thing. You never know, actually, how going to be the reaction of the people and you know, to please everyone with every tune, that's impossible. But hopefully we're going to connect with some people with some tune and another people with another tune. You know, that's our dream, you know.
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that's emblematic of you getting back out and playing live music and albums coming out is that the jazz community is waking up. How do you see the jazz community coming back stronger now after going through this pandemic?
I'm going to tell you, I've been concerned for years because I live in this country that I love with all my heart for 32 years, and I never saw a minute of jazz music on television ever. And that's sad, you know. I cannot believe it. This is the country that invented that music, you know, and we must be extremely proud to preserve it and to promote it and to help all the jazz artists to stay alive, you know. If you go to Asia or Europe in the prime time, on prime network, you're going to have a good chance on a Saturday night at 9 p.m. to watch a couple hours of any of those major festivals around the world, but not in the U.S. And I say, how come?
You know, the one thing, too, I'm curious, with your schedule and your itinerary now that things are picking back up, are you going to go harder than you've ever gone before? Are you going to pick things up? Are you going to kind of go at a pace that you used to before?
You know, it's difficult for me to reject any gig. If somebody want me, I'd be there.
Arturo, this has been wonderful to catch up with you. Thank you for opening up about the new album. Good luck with it and getting out on the road. It's always a joy.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate your time and your opportunity you gave me to get a little closer to the people and let everybody know that I love music more than ever, and I owe everything to the music. Music saved my life, and I'm going to be, for the rest of my days, very grateful for music.
Yes, sir. We're grateful for you. Thank you, Arturo.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Cuba, Miami, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Arturo for always being so dedicated to the music and making jazz a wonderful place. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends. I want to tip you off to a wonderful program I found out about. As we expand our reach, we have made some friends out there in the world that love jazz as much as we do. This program is fully endorsed by Neon Jazz.
Gerald Albright, Maria Schneider, Charlie Hunter, Duke Robillard, Sean Jones, Walter Beasley, Steve Swallow. Something Came from Baltimore is a jazz, blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, and it's not really about Baltimore. Subscribe to the podcast and listen to your favorite artist or future favorite artist. That Something Came from Baltimore, and be a part of that Be More Music scene. Joe Lovano, Jeff Kaufman, Paula Cole, Danuzo Makatani, Ann Passio, Chess Smith, Thumbscrew.
Neon Jazz.